Hello and welcome to this episode of the Dallas Christian College Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Spees, the Director of Advancement here at DCC, and we want to thank you for joining us as we continue in our series, which we have titled Our Calling. The mission statement for Dallas Christian College states that we educate and mentor students to be people of influence, engaging in their calling to the work of Christ in the church and in the world. Helping students find their God-given calling is a crucial part of their spiritual growth experience here at DCC. And in this series, you've heard from many of our faculty, department chairs, staff members, and coaches, as they are the ones on the front lines helping our students identify their calling in life. And today, we're pleased to welcome one of our alums, Dr. Brad Pimbleton, to share about his call into ministry and how God has been working in his life, especially recently. Welcome to the DCC Leadership Podcast, Dr. Pimbleton.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. Brad graduated from DCC in 1999 with a Bachelor of Arts in Bible. He went on to pursue his master's at Fuller Theological Seminary with a Master of Arts in Theology, and just recently completed his D.Min in Leadership and Spiritual Formation from the Portland Seminary at George Fox University. Brad has served in three local churches over the past 27 years, including stints in Fort Worth and Houston, Texas, as a youth pastor, campus pastor, executive pastor, and discipleship pastor. Along with serving the local church, Brad has had the opportunity to invest in the global church in leading short-term mission trips across Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Philippines, India, and most recently, Uganda. Brad currently serves as the executive and discipleship pastor at Crossbridge Christian Church in Houston, Texas, with his wife, Tanya, and he has two grown children, Brant and Camden. Facilitating our discussion is the head of DCC's Practical Ministries Department, Dr. Eddie Sanders. So, Dr. Sanders, I'm going to turn it over to you for this episode of Our Calling.
Hey, thanks. Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
So, it's the early 90s. You're in high school. You're thinking college. Where's your heart and mind at that time?
So that's very interesting because it was when I was 17 years old when I felt like there was a call into ministry. And I was working with the YMCA, and I was a counselor. And during that time, there was a kid that came into our program, and he was just off the rails. Crazy off the rails, and I was able to get a hold of him. He was scratching, he was hitting, and he finally just broke down. And I found out that day is that he found out that his mom and dad were getting divorced. Mm. And it was in that moment that I felt like there was a calling, that there's something different that needs to happen within families. And that's why I decided to go into youth ministry.
That is striking.
Yeah.
So many ministry stories, you know, it's just kind of this gradual or general journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty specific.
It was very specific. Now, my grandfather was a pastor. My father was a pastor. So I grew up in the church.
It's in the blood.
It's in the blood. But there was a specific moment that day when I got home, and I was just realizing there has to be a different way to do life with these kids and with these families. And that's why I felt like being called into the youth ministry.
Wow. So you're a junior in high school at this point?
I was a junior in high school, and that summer is when I went to CIY, and that's when I officially made the call of saying, I'm going to step into this calling.
Wow. And the path was kind of laid out.
It was laid out.
Yeah. God had some pretty strategic timing that summer.
Yeah, he
that
did.
That year, really.
Yep.
Not that he does it other times,
right.
But that's a pretty clear exit ramp.
Mm-hmm.
You're headed on this highway now.
Yep.
So you wrap up your senior year.
Yeah. So that was the summer of my junior year. Going into my senior year, I quit baseball.
Okay.
I went into a program at the high school that dealt with daycare and childcare and those type of things. Began to learn with that. I got into the YMCA, did some work there, and then I rolled into Dallas Christian College to become into the ministry.
Okay. Yeah. Was it hard to put the glove aside?
It was on one level because I grew up in that and I loved that.
Yeah.
But again, my passion was for the local church.
Yeah.
And my passion was for students, and my passion was for families to learn how to love and do life well together. And so even though I was able to put the glove away, the bat away, there was a greater calling, if you will, to go into that ministry.
Yeah, good. So you come on campus, you're in classes, you're here for several years. Talk and share, how was your calling challenged? How was it focused? How did it grow? Just reflect on that during your time here.
At Dallas Christian College? Yeah. So my freshman year, I went into an internship with Southwest Christian Church, better known as Trademark.
Okay.
Now, and I was there for 2 years while I was coming to DCC, and it solidified my calling into ministry, and specifically into youth ministry. And then when I graduated from Dallas Christian College, Southwest was at a crossroads, and so was I, wanted to go full-time. And that's what called me to go down to Houston and to be a part of the work down in Houston.
Was there a face, a person, a conversation while you were at Trademark that really solidified it for you? Any relationship that...
Yeah. Some of my sponsors, there's a guy named Scott Wirt that is an elder at Trademark now. He was one of my sponsors. He really poured into me, really encouraged me, really supported me in that. And I would also say at that time was my parents as well. I remember graduating from Dallas Christian College and went through the ceremony, you know, got the diploma and that kind of thing, walked out into the foyer, and I see my dad. And my dad is somewhat reserved when it comes to tears and those type of things. Mm. And we locked eyes, and I went towards him, and I gave him a big old hug, and he had tears in his eyes. Mm. And I think it was for two reasons. I think one, I think he was extremely proud. Mm. And I think number two, I think he realized that the road in ministry was going to be very difficult. And there was this tension of joy and of, man, I know that your life ahead of you is going to be so fruitful, but it's going to be hard. And again, that was another watershed moment for me. To realize that this work that we are being called to is an eternal work. And God has called me to be a part of that. And what an honor, what a privilege that is to do that.
That's profound. Mm. Was he right? I know the answer.
He was extremely right, extremely right. And it was one of those things where over the you know, 25 years or so with ministry, there's ups and downs, there's questions of doubt of, are you even supposed to do this or not? There's questions of, am I good enough? Do I need more education? Do I need more experience? All those type of things. And then there's just the people aspect, because we deal with broken people, and hurt people hurt people, and Christian or non-Christian, and the church is full of hurt people. And so when you're part of an organization, you're part of a ministry that you're dealing with hurt people, there's going to be times where it's going to be really tough, where the water is going to be drained, and it's going to be a dry season. Yep. And it's so important to do the work, self-care that you need to do as a pastor. And so he was extremely right. Extremely right.
In 90 seconds, tell us some self-care principles that you'd recommend, that you've found significant.
Yeah. So over the past several years, one of the things that I've done personally is I've written what's called a rule of life, which is basically a reflection of who I am, who God has called me to do to be, and how I need to take care of myself. So there's self-reflection. And in this rule of life, I have a couple of scriptures. I have a mission statement to keep me focused. And then I have what's called some rhythms of grace, which allows me to keep me filled up in certain ways. I take a regular Sabbath. Every single week, I take one day a week for a Sabbath. I make sure I spend time with my wife. I carve out time with her every single week. I make sure that I'm in community. I make sure that I'm reading scripture in community. So there's certain things that I do to help me stay fresh, to stay engaged with not only with my family, but also with the church.
Yeah, and that's very helpful to hear. What's the background, the context of the rule of life? I've heard that before.
Yeah, so the context is that this idea that when we say rule, sometimes it's seen as a command, but it's really what it is. It's like a trellis, right? If you have a trellis in the vine, and you need a trellis to hold up the vine. If you don't have the trellis, the vine's going to die. If you just have the vine, it's going to die. But if you just have the trellis, then there's nothing to grow on. So the idea of the rule of life is to construct a structure that allows the vine to grow. And so this idea of rule of life is just this rhythm of making sure that you are taking care of yourself. And it's a reflection of who you are and who you have around you to help you in your growth. One of the things I have in my rule of life is accountability. So I have three or four guys that I meet with every single month to just do life together and ask questions and to pray together. I also have a spiritual director who I meet with once a month, which helps me where I can be able to speak, where a lot of times as pastors, you're there to listen. You're there to ask questions, but having a spiritual director for me to ask questions and for me to talk out certain things in my life, whether it be at home or at work, has been extremely helpful because I'm allowed to speak out what's going on in my heart and my mind with no judgment from the spiritual director. And so for that, it's so important to have someone that you're able to have that conversation with because a lot of times you can justify a lot of things in your head, right? So having a spiritual director, having some accountability to speak out those things is so important.
Yeah, a spiritual director may be more or less familiar, depending on your denomination, mm-hmm. church involvement. Yeah. Talk me through, how's that different than a men's group meeting at lunch? How's that different than calling a friend? Help me grasp that.
So the spiritual director, he has been my traveling companion.
Okay.
Where the having lunch with some guys, those type of things, it's been really good, very helpful. The spiritual director spends a lot more time listening to me and listening to what I'm saying and then speaking into that, asking questions like, why do you feel that way?
Yeah.
How are you working through those situations? He gives me practices to work on and to come back. And so the spiritual director, this traveling companion, is just a deeper understanding of who I am, where I do most of the talking and he does most of the listening. Whereas in a group, there's this give and take, right?
Right.
And sometimes we want to share into your life or share into someone else's life in a lunch meeting or whatever. Yeah. Where the spiritual director is solely on me. That is the purpose, is the self-care from me.
That's helpful. Mm-hmm. So education has been a significant part of your discipleship and spiritual journey.
It has, and my calling. I remember I took 42 hours my senior year here at Dallas Christian College. I do not recommend that, but I wanted to graduate with some of my people that I grew up with, and I was married, and I remember walking to the dining hall. And Dr. Hamm looked at me and said, I think you need to go and get your master's. Mm. And I looked at Dr. Hamm. I said, I will never write another paper in my life. 17 years later, I'm getting my master's. And 3 years after that, I'm getting my doctorate. And wow. Was that prophetic? Probably. Did he think that? I don't know. But education has been so important. In my development of my calling, giving me the tools that I need to work through that. And I felt like DCC had did a great job of providing and preparing me for that work.
Yeah, that's helpful. If I may reflect just for a moment, this only dawned on me a few years ago, but education was a significant part of my discipleship journey, and I just always found Christian college, Bible college, seminary, graduate school, graduate theological education, all that. It's like I couldn't get enough of it. Mm. And when I look back, it's like, oh, this makes sense. That was my discipleship. Now, I was still very much involved in small groups and Bible fellowships and all that. That was never not part of it. But the educational piece for me was that discipleship pressure that I needed.
Yeah, and I would also say the education helped me define it more clearly, because I felt like the calling was more of into ministry, youth ministry, right? And as I went through my education through DCC, through Fuller and Portland Seminary, I was able to define it more clearly of what my calling is. It's not to a position within the church, where I felt like that's what was I was trying to be, right? Youth ministry, and then, you know, after 15, 20 years, maybe going to lead pastor or whatever. And so a lot of times it was more around position. And what I'm seeing now through my education, through reading, through having these kinds of conversations, is that it's not through a position, that the calling is more specifically to me and what God has called me to and assigned me to. And so I see my calling not to a position, but to an invitation to partner with God, where He uses my abilities to advance the kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's helpful. If there's a student sitting out there in, let's say, New Mexico, they're at a crossroads. They're not quite sure what God is doing, but there's something there. And they're kind of wrestling, thinking, contemplating. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them?
I would say one of the things that have helped me tremendously is to let three or four people know where you're at and invite them into your life to pray for you, to have conversation, for you to ask questions, and to begin to have some discernment. A lot of times we see discernment as an individualistic practice. And again, through my education, I realized that it's very communal. And so when I'm on the crossroads, I ask three or four or five people that I know that are deep in the Word, that are praying, that are seeking God's grace and mercy through their own life. And I want them to be a part of my conversation. And so they can speak into my life. And so I would say to that person, the first thing you need to do is not only to pray, but also invite three or four people into your life, let them know what you're doing, and let them have a conversation by saying, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I'm seeing, this is what I'm hearing. Do you see it? Do you hear it? What would you speak into? And allow that group of people to help you, because I believe the Holy Spirit will guide us, right? Because Paul says we are the temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So why not have four or five people that are dwelt, that the Holy Spirit is indwelling them to speak into your life? That's what I would say to them.
That's good, yeah. And so many times in life, either just out of high school or midlife, we stand at a crossroads and we can say, I don't know where I'm at,
yeah,
to be honest with you,
mm-hmm,
you know? And so that is very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Brad. And that, you know, reminds me, we've heard a lot of that same encouragement from some of our professors, coaches, others that have shared over the last few months. And I would encourage you, if you are listening now and you want to learn more about, you know, Dallas Christian College, how we can help you discover your calling, I would encourage you to go to our website at www.dallas.edu. There you can check out our various degree programs, our online programs, scholarship opportunities, but also check out previous episodes of the Dallas Leadership Podcast, because you're going to hear the ways a lot of people have walked through very similar experiences that Brad did, same thing. And I love that calling is more than position. I could go on for an hour about the way God has worked very similarly in my life, and I appreciate you taking the time to share with us today. So thank you again for checking out this episode of the Dallas Leadership Podcast. I encourage you to look at our other episodes. You can find them on many different platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Overcast, and Podfriend. Again, if you've got a question, you'd like to learn more about DCC, check out our website. But until next time, take care, stay safe, and we'll see you next time.